Yeah, praise God. Let's go to Acts chapter 10. And today we will, it's boiling down from what we've been looking at. Peter is in Joppa. Remember, he has just raised Dorcas from the grave, not really from the grave, but from the dead. And he was staying with the house of Simon the Tanner. And in Acts chapter 10, the Bible says there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius. And if you look at the map, Joppa and Caesarea are not too far. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian. So remember, the Romans were in charge. They had their small colonies. They had their leaders, centurions, who are the soldiers who are keeping law and order, members of the Roman army. And they were still, ideally, they were the hated people. They were those, no one wanted to serve the oppressors. But the Bible tells us that, verse 2, he was a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. So the Bible is telling us he was God-fearing, he was always giving generously to the poor, and he was always praying regularly to God. And later on we see that when he tells Peter, he tells him that, you know what, I was fasting, you know. So we can see that he was a righteous man, he was devoted to God, he feared God with all his household, and he gave to the poor and prayed to God always. Now, the thing is, when we see this description, we are seeing a man who is a Gentile, a man who is not part of the Commonwealth of Israel, someone who is not brought up as an Israelite, someone who is expected to be an oppressor, but to God, God has accepted this man, recognized him, recognized his devotion in what he knows to be the truth. And God has accepted this person. So that's something that really should strike us. Verse 3 says, he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of the Lord coming toward him. So he was praying up to around 3 o'clock. That is when when an angel came to him and said unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Verse 5, and now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon a Tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow, as they went on their way, they drew nigh unto the city. Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. This was about noon. Verse 11 says, and he saw heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manners of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. Verse 13, and there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. Verse 15, and the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God has cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the man which was sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate, and called and asked whether Simon, which surnamed Peter, lodged there. And while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. And maybe I'll finish in verse 21. And then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, Behold, I am him whom you seek. What is the cause where ye are to come? Why have you come? Now, we are seeing the introduction of the Gentiles. And remember, if you're following the salvation history at this point, what we see is that the gospel had been spread to the Jews. Philip had gone to the Samaritans. So remember, the gospel is spreading from Jerusalem to Rome. I mean, to the heart of the entire world that was known that time. But you see, the gospel was only with the Jews and the Samaritans. At this point, God had already, the Spirit had already been poured out on the Jews. Remember, on the day of Pentecost. Then secondly, on the Samaritans, when the apostles came to Samaria after Philip had preached and they laid their hands on the believers, those who had believed, they were filled with the Spirit, and the believers, and that is when Simon the sorcerer, he saw that the gift was given by the laying on of hands. That means the gift of the Holy Spirit was given by the laying on of hands. So if you follow closely, you will see that this gift or this baptism in the Holy Spirit is what actually was like a confirmatory to the believers that these people were accepted by God, and that they were, it was like, apart from believing, apart from being baptized in water, it was that mark of divine approval that confirmed not only to the other believers, but to they themselves, that they were accepted by God and that they were filled with the Holy Spirit and that they were born again. So when they were born again, not only was it, did it happen in their hearts, and that's what I've been trying to say, that we have two things that happen. I mean, it's like God speaks once, but twice we hear. So there's always a confirmation that God gives to us as human beings to confirm what he's already done. So when you give your life to Jesus, what happens is that your spirit is made alive, and that's something that will happen internally. No one will see that. I mean, it will be like a joke. You might not fully comprehend that, but you see, when now you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, and what we see is that there is that manifestation of speaking in tongues, as we saw it happened in Jerusalem, it happened to the Samaritans, and then as well now it will happen to the Gentiles who in the house of Cornelius. And also, if you also go to Acts 19, you will see Paul in Ephesus. The Bible says that he met these disciples who were disciples of John, and he asked them, do you know, have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? And they said, we've never even heard there is a Holy Spirit. So what we see is that each of these points, there is a baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is that confirmation, or that outward confirmation that God gives of that which happened spiritually, or that which happened internally, that God bears witness to you and also to others that, you know what, the same Spirit that was on Christ, that raised Christ from the dead, lives inside you. You know, and the Bible says, if that same Spirit that was in Christ, that raised Christ from the dead, lives in you, he shall also give life to your mortal bodies. I mean, if you look at Romans chapter 8, he shall also give life to your mortal bodies, that same Spirit. And the Bible says, if we have the same Spirit of Christ, then we are of Christ. And so So how do we know that we are of Christ is when we have that confirmation within us and even outwardly to us that we have the Spirit of God. And that's why God knows these ones are mine. And the Bible says he has given us the Spirit as a deposit, as a guarantee, confirming and affirming to us that we are children of God. Now, when we look at how the gospel is going and how now God is trying to push the boundaries of the message, to push the boundaries of the gospel, because at this point it was limited to the Samaritans, but remember Jesus' instruction, he said, and you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So now it was supposed to be time for it to go unto the ends of the earth. But you see, he was dealing with what you will call a cultural barrier that Peter had. Now, Peter, for sure, was a true Jew. He was brought up as a Jew. He knew that the salvation is for the Jews. Jesus came for the Jews. He limited his ministry to the Jews. And so he has this part of him that is still ingrained in the law. And one thing that we need to realize is that the gospel message meets us in our cultures. The gospel message has been described as coming to meet man in his culture and transforming that man from in his culture. It's not and taking the good things but and of that out of the culture and judging the culture. Precisely, the gospel judges the culture. So it comes, finds the culture, judges the culture based on the kingdom culture, takes out what is bad and maintains what is good, and transforms that culture into the kingdom culture. So you find that it is the culture is judged by the gospel. And you see, now God was dealing with Peter and trying to take out prejudice from him. Now, Peter was born again. Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter was moving in signs, miracles, and wonders. But you see, within him, he still had that human aspect, that culture in him that he had been brought up by the law. And for sure, not only was it culture, it was also written because he was obedient to what was the law. He was obedient to the former covenant, which clearly stated that there are cultural laws, and I mean they are what they call ceremonial laws. They are clean animals, they are unclean animals. And remember this cleanness and uncleanness of animals already, I mean, it's God who had given them that guidance. But even if you look at Noah still chose clean animals and sacrifice. But so that means there was a wisdom that God had already given to them that differentiated between clean and unclean. But you see, those that God calls clean are not the same as how we human beings call clean. Now, if we were to judge Cornelius on a human perspective, he didn't deserve righteousness. He didn't deserve that mercy of God. But you see, to God, it is God who justifies. And that is why we will always struggle to, when we want to judge men based on our own standard of righteousness. I mean, when you see someone with all these tattoos, with all these rings, with all this, you know, hair and all that, and you'll be like, there's no way you can be filled with the Spirit. There's no way you can be born again. But you see, to God, God is the one that qualifies those that who are not qualified. And you see, Cornelius did not qualify at all based on any standard that Peter knew. Cornelius did not qualify, but you see, it is God that qualifies. And that's why God tells Peter, do not call unclean what I have called clean. So God was telling Peter that, you know what, I have accepted the Gentiles. So do not call the Gentiles unclean, yet I am the one who has cleansed them. And so you see, God has to bring a vision to Peter where he sees these animals coming. And what does he say? Not so, Lord. I wonder, you know, it's interesting why God does it for Peter three times. And for me, I'm just thinking, Peter, it should have rung a bell to him. I denied Jesus three times. The other time I was told, do you love me? Feed my lambs, feed my sheep, three times. And now again, the same vision is coming again, three times. And you can see the pattern of how God deals with us and how he uses familiar patterns to speak to us, especially when he wants to confirm to us that it is him speaking. And for me, yes, we could look at the life of Cornelius, but for me, what stands out to me really is the gap between calling and assignment. And many are called. When the Bible says that many are called, but few are chosen, it speaks to us that God has really given the call. I mean, he has called so many people, he has anointed them, but very few people move from the level of where they are just called of God to the place where they are actually fulfilling the assignment that God created them to do. Now, there are assignments that are meant for you. There are also assignments that were meant for others who said, not so, Lord. And the assignments remain available to someone who will say, here I am, send me. If we see Paul, I don't think God had prepared Paul. I mean, yes, God had that desire for Paul to reach to the nations, but I personally believe that the assignment for the Gentiles was for both Peter, was actually for Peter. But you see, because Peter said, not so, Lord, then it was taken away. It was taken away, and his ministry seems like it comes to an end here, and Paul's ministry starts to shine. Now, if Peter had said, yes, Lord, I will do it, then he would have carried on. And of course, Paul would also have done his ministry, but you see, Peter's ministry will still have also continued and his boundaries would have extended to the Gentiles. But he said, not so, Lord. It, for me, it's really a point of reflection. What are the things that God has asked us to do as assignments and we feel like, ah, no, I can't reach to those prostitutes, or I can't reach to those children, or they're so dirty, or that place is too poor, or that you know, something that based on where we are in life, or based on our upbringing, or based on our culture, that just cringes us and does not move us into the place of assignment that God has called us to do. And when God keeps calling us, he wants us to move from the level of being called to the level of assignment. Reinhard Bonnke says that God told him that he was not his choice. I mean, in that there were two other people who were to do the assignment that he did, I mean, evangelism to Africa, who said no. Catherine Kuhlman also says that God told her she was not her first choice, but because some people said no, then it came to them. Look at Elisha. It is because Elijah said that, I want to die. Then God said, okay, now go and appoint your successor. Then Elisha was called. So the many times that God really wants to do certain things in our lives or certain things on the earth, assignments he wants to complete on the earth, but because men said no, God finds someone else. I pray that God's grace will help us to say yes and will keep us in the assignment and will give us that sensitivity not to be like Peter, not to say, not so, Lord, but to may our spiritual eyes, our spiritual understanding, and our willingness be available that we don't miss the assignments, and also to partake of assignments that people have refused to partake, and really fulfill the gospel and fulfill the assignment that God has on the earth. And I pray that really God opens our eyes to these things, because it is now where we move from just being gifted, we move to being a gift. You know, it's important that you're no longer a gifted person. Now you become a gift to the world, and you fulfill destiny by saying yes to assignment. So I'll stop there and call you for reflections. And I pray that God has spoken to us. Yeah, over.
Thank you very much for sharing. Nothing much to add. But it's a little bit scary in quote, knowing that somebody can be replaced.
Oh,
yeah. You know, it's one of the, because the most important thing we are here to do on earth is to fulfill purpose. Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know what, even if eventually you make heaven, I think the pain will actually be on your side, knowing that how much I could have done. You know, yeah, so it just causes us to know that we need to step up and, you know, yeah, God is not just going to put his agenda on pause, even if we decide to be disobedient.
Yes. No, that's, yeah, and really, for sure, that's why I say it's really a call for reflection. And I think it's really, it's really a heart issue. And really, as long as we stay available to God, we stay in tune with the Spirit, I believe that we shall not miss our moments. And we should not live in the fear that we shall miss our moments. But one thing I know is that God, even when we fail, he still has a way to still do what he wanted to do. And later on, I mean, we'll be able to see that. I mean, Peter still went and he still moved. I mean, despite what Peter was trying to, like, oh, you know, it is not right for a Jew to enter the house of a Gentile. The Holy Spirit does not want to hear that. Poop, fill the people with the Holy Spirit. This is what I brought you to do. And God is faithful, and his grace will keep us. It is his grace that brought us to salvation. It is grace that will sustain us, and he will always give us that call and that chance. And I pray that we will be obedient to his will. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father and Lord, I thank you. I thank you for your word that has come to speak to us, O God, to challenge us, O God, that there are things that you call us to do, oh God. There are times that we are discouraged. There are times that we miss our mark. There are times that we feel that we need certain things. But Lord God, you call us to serve you in certain unique ways, oh God. And it's not to our convenience. It may not be to our liking, oh God. It might push us beyond the bounds. But in those bounds, that is where the reward lies. That is where the blessing lies. And that is where the call lies. And I pray that, Lord, you move us from the places of being the called to the places of being the assigned. And I pray for the maturation of spirit that we need to have. I pray that, Lord, you give us understanding to move from being the gifted to being the gift, and to take on the tasks that you want us to do, oh God. And I pray for forgiveness where we have failed. I pray that, Lord, even the places that we have failed to walk into, that, Lord, you bring them back again. You bring back that sheet again, that as you brought to Peter. And I pray that you, by your grace, you helped us to say yes, Lord, and not to say not so, Lord. And I pray for courage, ability, and strength, and even for that person there who has not given their life to Jesus, the Lord, even as they listen, the Lord, you forgive them, accept, or even as they put their faith in you, the Lord, you accept them and you fill them with your Spirit to the praise and honor of your holy name. I pray for our families, our brothers, our sisters, our children, our spouses, oh God, the Lord, your hand shall keep and sustain them in all aspects. We honor, we adore you, and we give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Amen and shalom, and have a blessed, blessed day.